Romans 14, verse 11. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.
I have a contact lens problem this morning. One of them's trying to pop out. So if you see me pull the other one out and put on glasses, don't be alarmed this morning. I rarely lose my appetite for things that I love. I love football. But I, like a lot of people, began to lose my appetite for it this past year with this whole idea of taking a knee and protesting. That has continued into other realms. I enjoy the Olympics, but there has been some of that even in the Olympics this year. And so my appetite is waning. Those symbols have been misinterpreted. I mean, it's obvious that people are doing it because they feel a need. They are upset. They see something lacking in society, and they want to make it known that there's a problem. And so they take a knee. And it sent the wrong message for sure. I understand and I appreciate the value of perceiving a problem. But the next step is taking action to do something about the problem that you perceive. And in all of those instances, that's the component that's missing, that seems to be missing. You have people in positions of tremendous influence recognizing a perceived problem, but doing the wrong thing, really doing nothing. Step one, they perceive a problem. Step two, take action, not a knee of inaction. I've tried to mull that thought around in my head to think about what lesson. There has to be something to learn from that. Something that is so emotion driven, that has dominated so much of the discussion in our landscape, the landscape of our society. There must be something that we can take from that and learn some lessons. The irony of that whole situation is that I really believe taking a knee, getting down on our knees, is the first step to solving many of the problems that are protested that way. But then you have to take action. Then you have to use your ability and your influence to do something. I want to take that whole idea this morning and apply it in a way that I think would be beneficial and helpful to us. I want to talk about the fact that it's time to take a knee in many areas of our lives, in many areas of our relationships. But I don't want us to just take a knee in these areas, though that's an important step. I want us to take the next necessary action that follows it. So here are four areas of life that I really, really think we could benefit from considering as we think about the idea it's time to take a knee. Number one, it's time to take a knee to the God of heaven. And the action as we go down to our knees is submission to Him. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, Paul, pouring out his heart regarding his fleshly brethren, Israel, said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have gone about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Here are people full of zeal. But their problem is they haven't submitted to the God of heaven. Can't we say also that people on football fields, in basketball arenas, who perceive a problem and take a knee, need to appreciate this same reality and truth about the problems that they perceive? We live in a society and culture that may have a great zeal, but it's not according to knowledge, and men, women, boys, and girls have not submitted themselves to the God of heaven. And anytime that one action is absent, chaos, disorder, and a whole lot of injustice will take place. We've lost sight of who is in charge. I wish it were the case that that only applied to basketball arenas and football fields and Olympic stadiums, but it has even affected the church. We're in the world. There's the potential of the world to affect and influence us. And it may be the case that we perceive problems even in our own lives as Christians. Could it be that we haven't taken the knee that we need to take, the one of submission to our God? There's a primary reason that our society is so messed up. There's a primary reason that so many lives are messed up. It's the same thing that's recorded in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you know the chaos and the turmoil of that book. A cycle that's repeated over and over and over and over of just the sad state of man when he leaves God out of his plans, only to call on God again when problems mount or surface. The religious flippancy that takes place in our society today does our culture and the problems no good at all. People who wear the name Christian but don't live it, and live it in a way that is flippant and disrespectful to the God to whom we must submit ourselves, it's doing the world no good. I'd like to tell people who protest because of mistreatment and injustice that there's a solution for that. The cause of Christianity and the call of Christianity will solve every one of those problems. But when people think of Christianity, they turn around and they look at Christians that they know, many of whom live lives flippantly, never submitting to the God of heaven. And so they're a miserable and poor example. The challenge for you and me is to not be a miserable and poor example of what submission to God looks like. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" How do we help a culture that perceives a problem and doesn't know how to fix it? How do we help broken society and culture? Well, it has to begin with taking a knee to the God of heaven in submission to him. And Christians have to leaven culture. We can't allow culture to leaven us. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and through 16, Jesus reminds, we're the light of the world. The city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all that are in the house or the world. And we're to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works. And then in return, what do? Brethren, they glorify the God of heaven. They get on their knee in submission to the God of heaven. I would submit to us this morning that by way of helping the problems that ail our society, we need to make sure that we're on our knee in submission to the God of heaven. Number two, it's time to take a knee to our spouses. And the action here is devotion. I've said in past sermons that family is the backbone of society. When you work down in a nation to see what really makes a great nation, it's going to come to that point of great families. And as goes the family, so goes the nation and the world. And in our culture today, we're destroying the family. And we see the fruit of it, the results of it, and people are getting down on their knees in protest about it because they perceive a problem, but they don't have any action for it. They don't know how to fix it. It all goes back to the basic fundamental elements of a strong culture and society. The family as God has designed it. Not a man and a man, and not a woman and a woman, but a man and a woman, and children, if a couple chooses to have children that are brought up in a godly home that takes a knee in submission to the God of heaven. It's time for us to take a knee to our spouses. Matthew 19, verses 4 through 9, Jesus points all the way back to the beginning relative to the family as God designed it and how God intended for it to be. You and I can look at broken homes in society and say, well, that's why the world's the way it is. People are brought up in broken homes. The father's absent or the mother's absent. And come up with a whole list of reasons why other families have problems. But as I said, I'm trying in this sermon to figure out how to use this occurrence in a very productive way. And so it stands to reason we need to apply it to ourselves. And ask ourselves, as Christians in the church, have we taken the knee of devotion to our spouses? Husbands to wives, and wives to husbands. How about our homes? What does our spousal treatment look like in our homes? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, Paul said, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Just as you would submit to the Lord, so you are to submit to your husband. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. You see, he planned an environment where it's okay for a husband to exercise his leadership role because the woman, as God has designed it, is going to submit to his leadership. And it's okay for the woman to submit to his leadership because she knows the one to whom she's submitting loves her. And it's a beautiful relationship of harmony because everyone understands that the role that they feel works together to accomplish the good that God has intended by it. But how about our homes? I can only look into mine, and I like it that way. And you can only look into yours, and I'm glad it's that way. So you can work on what you need to work on, and I can work on what I need to work on, and we following God's divine pattern can make our homes what they want to be. But I fear sometimes we're not any different than the football player. We'll see, it's broken. And all we do is take a knee in protest. This is broken and I don't like it. But that never fixed anything. We have to take action. And I would suggest the action that we need most as it pertains to this point in our lesson. We need to take a knee to our spouses in devotion. I'm devoted to help you be everything God wants you to be because that's what I want you to be. I'm devoted to help you to be the greatest leader of a family that's possible. I'm devoted to you to love you the way Christ loved the church. Not just a knee. Not just a protest, but action to actually fix whatever problem ails our marriages. Number three, it's time to take a knee to our children. The action here is attention. You know, when they're a baby, they're laying on that blanket that sweet sister so-and-so made for them. It's there in the middle of the living room floor, and they're laying on it. They're cooing, and you're right down there in their face, giving them your full, undivided attention. But when they get older, not right now. I'm busy. Go do something else. I don't have time. Maybe later. Attention. You can call it nurture if you want. In the Bible, God is repeatedly called our Father. And the amazing amount of attention that he has devoted to us is astonishing. In fact, he wrote a book about it. And every page of it is devoted to his attention toward us. Every page has something to do with his attention that's focused squarely and solely on his children. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God gives good gifts, perfect gifts, and one of those is the fact that he gives us his attention. He has given his undivided attention. See, in my mind, as a veteran of the armed forces and a country and flag loving American, it's easy for me to look at those protests and take it as a slap in the face as one who's served this country and appreciates very much those who have in whatever way they have. But maybe I can use this as an opportunity to learn something about taking a knee of action. You see, I know that if more kids in our society had the attention, the undivided attention of parents, we wouldn't have as much trouble as we have. I know there's some exceptions. I know that train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I know that's a principle. Just like many of the Proverbs, and it's not a fail-safe in every case. I know that. But we have a mess in our society as it relates to parental attention in the lives of children. And my fear is that too much of that has gotten into the church. We live in a society of technology, and there's no denying it. And we might as well embrace it and figure out how to use it for good, and just like anything else, limit it where we need to. But what's happening in our culture is the electronic revolution is rearing our children. And oftentimes, the availability of those things becomes a convenient way to distract the attention of children because parents are too busy to get out on the floor and give them some attention. Ephesians 6:4 says, and you've heard me say this before, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up. Bring. You can't bring something without accompanying it. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. What in the world would make a young man walk into a school, walk into a church, and take a firearm and just start shooting people he doesn't even know? What? The experts say mental illness alone doesn't lead a person to do that. I mean, there are a lot of people in our world who have mental disabilities, and they don't bother anybody. What is it? I don't, not in every case. I'm not trying to apply a principle that covers everything. But surely, surely we can see the connection of the home with these things and the need for mothers and fathers to give attention to their children. As a society, we're AWOL from the lives of our children. And what a tragedy, brethren, it would be if we allowed that to bleed into the church, and that became the case with us and our children. And while I'm on that, children, I have put your parents in the place of taking a knee to you and giving you attention this morning, but you need to take a knee too. You need to take a knee in honor and respect of the people who brought you into this world. My dad would say, or I could take you out of the world. You didn't get here by yourself. You think about that. Somebody decided to have you and brought you into this world. Don't turn your back on your parents. Paul said, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And then he said, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 30 and verse 17 says, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. If you're going to disrespect, dishonor your parents, you better walk around like this. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." And so as children, and even after you're grown, you have a duty to honor your mother and your father. It's time to take a knee in our families to children by giving them the attention that they so desperately need, and children giving the honor and respect that their parents deserve. And then fourthly, it's time to take a knee to the local congregation. And the action here is service. I'll judge me and you judge you. How about that? Some of us have stronger ties to social clubs, social events, and social activities than we do to the local congregation. And that's a tragedy. Because this is the body of Christ. And you and I, by virtue of the fact that we have become Christians, we have agreed to be part of His body. And what would you do if parts of your body just decided they were going to go somewhere else? Your heart just decided, "I'm going to go do something else. I'm tired of pumping your blood." Or your brain said, "I think I'm tired of thinking for you." Or your hands or your legs or your feet or your eyes stopped working in harmony with the rest of your body. We are here in this place as a body and group of Christians to make one unit that functions like a body. We're not the group that used to be such and such congregation. We're not the group that used to be such and such congregation. We are the local congregation in this place, and we are component parts of this body. And it's our duty to serve one another. Listen to Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. "For you, brethren, have been not been called to liberty. You have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity to the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." I'm not talking about Cletus being my neighbor because he lives on Main Street. I'm talking about Cletus being my neighbor because we're brothers in Christ in this congregation. "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Jumping down just a little bit to look at verse 20. He talks about the works of the flesh here, walking the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. But look at verse 20, the sins that he lists here. The verse begins with idolatry, but let's get over into the middle of this. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Look at verse 24. "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And then verse 6, just forget the chapter break. Keep going. It's a letter. "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We're a body. And we must function that way. And the only way for us to do that is if we serve one another. We're in this family to serve, not self, but others. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, it is said of him that the Son of Man came not to minister, not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to serve, not to be served. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, Peter says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I'm going to ask myself a question, and you ask yourself this question. Who gets your gifts? Who gets your gifts? Do the people of the world and your associations and your relationships in the world, do they get your gifts more than the local congregation gets them? See, I could look around at the local congregation and say, I don't like this. This is not the way I want it to be. I could, like an NFL player, take a knee and protest and say, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And I could be just like them and stop right there. Or I could take action. And I could say the best way for me to fix relationships, to fix things that I think are broken, to fill the gaps and the voids, is to take a knee in recognition of those things and then to take action by serving the people around me. You see, my chief complaint with all of this protesting is that these people are in a position to actually do something and they don't do it. But my chief concern for us is that there are some areas where taking a knee is necessary and critical. Not in protest, but so that we can apply ourselves to the betterment of those situations and circumstances. It's time to take a knee in submission to our God. It's time to take a knee to our spouses and give them absolute and full devotion. It's time to take a knee to our children and give them the attention that they deserve. It's time to take a knee to this congregation and serve one another. And may God help us to take these things to heart, to take these responsibilities serious, and make not only this congregation and our lives, but the world around us a better place. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to take a knee in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith in what this book says about the Son of God and His sacrifice for your sins. Willing to repent, to take a knee in recognition of the wrong that you have done that put Jesus on the cross. But then, take action, repent, change your life, change your direction. To take a knee in confession. Chandler read, there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You need to do that now. And you need to be baptized in water to have your sins washed away. Maybe that's your need. hopefully we have encouraged you and will encourage you in the song that's been selected to use this day and this opportunity to become a Christian. Maybe you have some other need that warrants a public response so that brothers and sisters can wrap arms around you, pray for you, and serve you. If you have a need, we hope we'll use this opportunity as we stand and sing.